This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Ola, it's Miles. Thank you guys for listening to the Men's Room Daily Podcast.
Have you heard our newest podcast? It's called The Greatest Story Never Told.
Download it today on radio.com. Be sure to subscribe. New episodes are uploaded every Tuesday at noon.
Unfortunately, what you're about to hear is real. The members of this radio program are simply not that bright, or what some people would call educated. They are merely stupid. They're not trying to offend anyone on purpose. And all have played doctors on TV. You have been warned and are cordially invited to join the party. This is the Men's Room.
Forget it, man, and get with the countdown. Get with the countdown. Shake this square world and blast off for Kicksville. The trippers, the grasshoppers, the hip ones, all gathered in secrecy and flying high as a kite.
This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. You know what they say, shake your radio more than three times, and you're playing with it. You're listening to the Men's Room.
And away we go. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,336. Along with Steve the Throw Hill, the Ted Smith, and Mike Hawk.
Montgomery!
And you are in the Men's Room. On tap today, it is a positive Friday, bitches, with the exciting return of Ted versus the FCC. We will play Profile This. Plus headlines, Men's Room Shout of the Day, fundable listener emails, and everyone's favorites, TV Time with Ted.
Click, clack, drinking to drunk.
All right, here we go. Lucky, lucky, lucky. A boat full of migrants seeking asylum lands on a nudist beach where they are served drinks. Meanwhile, a woman who led police on a high-speed chase says it's her birthday and she was hurrying to make something that stinks. Town of Dania Beach gets new welcome sign that gets put up in the wrong city. Lawsuit claims faulty lid spilled hot tea on testicles, not that they ever really look pretty. And Russian soldiers detained after washing their stinky ass feet in holy water. That is all coming on today's very special episode of The Men's Room.
And now, here's the question.
Hola, bitches. Good day to you and yours. All right, the movie Top Gun, when it was released in 1986, it spurred an increase in Navy recruitment by 500%. That's huge. The saying was that Top Gun was a recruiter's dream. The movie is also considered one of the most quotable movies of all time. And that's a problem for the Navy's fighter weapons school. That would be the actual elite fighter pilots, the actual Top Guns. They're fined any and every time they quote the movie. All right, so tell someone that you have the need for speed. It'll cost you $5. Yep, $5 per quote. You quote that movie while you attend that school, they're going to charge you. It's like a swear bucket. They're sick of the jokes. Now, another way to lose money is to burn a man's genitals with hot tea. Not something I would do, but that's the situation in California where a man is suing Starbucks after the lid on his hot tea popped off and left him with second and third degree burns on his hands, his abdomen, his butt, his penis, and his scrotum. Or as we like to say, he burned both the kit and the caboodle. Now, not sure how much money he is seeking, but probably more than $5. Probably more than $250,000. $250,000, that's how much an Alabama man had to wire to the two people that kidnapped him. Now, the good news is he had $250,000 to wire to the people who kidnapped him. case you haven't pieced it together, today we're going to talk about money, because money, let's face it, it's a major, 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 major part of life. But not all the stories that involve money are as easy as, hey, I got a job, I got a paycheck. Sometimes there are strange and or mysterious circumstances around that. So today's question is simply this. What's a good story of yours that involves money?
Be part of the big show. Call 206-421-ROCK. Like the Men's Room on Facebook. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Men's Room Live. And send your emails to themensroom@kisw.com.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Back to the conversation. This is the Men's Room with Miles and Thrill. 99.9 KISW.
Oh, it's all dead. Away we go. The weekend is here. Welcome to season 15, episode number 3,336. What a large and in charge program we have for you today. Positive Friday, guaranteed future repeat. Hell yeah. You know it. Exciting return today of Ted versus the FCC. Actually, we're giving Ted the day off on Ted versus the FCC.
For legal
reasons.
But
what our own Mike Hawk has done for you today, he has collected, much like the end of the year spectacular, every loss so far this year in Ted versus the FCC. I want to say he was like 13-12 or just barely cresting 500.
Yeah.
Either way, we got a lot of good misses coming up, and we'll play those back for you as Ted has the day off today. And today on our question, we were inspired by this story about a man who is releasing his own book. And as they say, if you feel the need for speed at the U.S. Navy's Elite Fighter Pilot School, you'd best not say it, or you're going to pay the price. At the Navy's Fighter Weapons School, a decades-old institution more commonly known as Top Gun, students and staff can be fined for various infractions. Any quote from the iconic 1986 film Top Gun, starring Tom Cruise as hotshot naval aviator Lieutenant Pete Maverick Mitchell, that's going to cost you $5. This according to former fighter pilot and Top Gun instructor, Commander Guy Bus Snodgrass. He's got a new book coming out, Top Gun's Top 10, Leadership Lessons from the Cockpit. His book shares lessons on leadership and all that stuff in his career as a naval aviator. Tons of insight on his experience from dogfighting, daily life. And while assuming that the reason for the rule against Top Gun quotes is that Top Gun instructors are tired of hearing, "You can be my wingman anytime," or "Your ego is writing checks your body can't cash," there's actually more to it than that.
Oh, yeah.
Snodgrass says that he fell in love with aviation at a young age. He had posters of planes on the walls of his room. He watched air shows as a kid with his Boy Scout troop in Texas. But then I watched with utter fascination as the U.S. Air Force Thunderbirds and U.S. Naval Blue Angels amazed crowds with their precise maneuvers. I was hooked. The energy, the excitement, the jet noise was all I need.
Ooh, jet noise.
But the movie Top Gun was also a major inspiration. I think that's where my real, true, initial love for naval aviation started. I loved the flying scenes. It was exciting. I felt myself going, man, if I could ever do that, it would be a dream come true. Looking back on the action film, as someone who had the opportunity to serve as a naval fighter pilot, he said the Top Gun movie had such an impact on most all of their lives. He revealed that as a junior officer, it was common for pilots to make jokes and throw out lines in the movie. It's ingrained in our culture to a certain extent. But Snodgrass explained, when you get to be Top Gun, because it's such a professional organization, you want to emphasize that you are at the top of your game. That's about professionalism, about good leadership. You don't turn Top Gun into a joke by referencing the movie.
Oh, come on.
So he says, it's a part of our bylaws that if anyone, someone, overtly references the movie, It could be a direct quote. It could be something that is really close to a direct quote. Then that's an automatic $5 fine. And if it's enforced, you are expected to pay right then. You pull out your wallet, you pay $5. Old habits die hard, though, he says. I think at some point we were all fined because it's so ingrained in our aviation culture.
Sure.
Snodgrass declined to reveal his favorite Top Gun quote, but he did say he loved the movie and was looking forward to the sequel, which unfortunately will not star Kelly McGillis.
I can't believe that.
Yes.
She wasn't even asked to return for the sequel. They've gotten most of the originals to come back. They even tried to figure out a way to get Anthony Anderson.
The guy from Blackish. The guy from ER.
Yeah.
Edwards.
Even though Anthony Edwards, thank you. Even though he died in the movie. He died in the movie. They're trying to find a way to get him back. Kelly McGillis.
She was the star of the movie.
She was a huge star in the movie. Had a massive impact on the plot line of the movie. They didn't ask her back. And we're going, man, oh, man. Why didn't they ask her back? I was leaving it at that.
Yeah. Mike, you were not born when Top Gun came out. You were born in 1990, correct?
Correct.
So this is 4 years before you were born. Do you have any interest in watching this new movie when it comes out?
You know, not near as much as everybody else.
Okay. Did you see the original?
Yes.
Okay. And you, and I'm sure you've heard some of the quotes.
Yes.
So here are 10 of the most unforgettable lines, by the way, from Top Gun.
So this is $50 worth of stuff you should not say if you're at the place.
Each one of these infractions is $5.
All right.
Sorry, Goose, but it's time to buzz the tower. That's Maverick's response to his friend and wingman, Goose, giving viewers the first glimpse of Mav's personality.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hotshot. In its response after he has denied permission to do a tower flyby, sorry, Goose, it's time to buzz the tower. Another quote, you're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. I don't like you because you're dangerous. This is one of the first rival moments between Iceman and Maverick.
Oh, the Iceman.
Ice isn't a fan of Maverick's daredevil flying style. Iceman also delivers his famous chomp in the scene. You're everyone's problem. That's because every time you go up in the air, you're unsafe. Another one. The response. That's right, Iceman. I am dangerous.
Oh, yes. Get him, Tom.
Another one is classified, I could tell you. But then I'd have to kill you.
Well, everybody says that.
This is Maverick's second encounter with Charlie after the two meet at the bar the night before. Because I was inverted. That line comes shortly after Maverick's classified remark to Charlie. Another, son, your ego is writing checks your body can't cash. Stinger, Maverick's commanding officer, delivers this line as part of a lengthy dialogue in which Mav and Goose are chewed out for the reckless behavior in the air. I think the most famous quote, I feel the need for speed.
Now, what most people don't know is he was a drug addict. This had nothing to do with getting in the cockpit of a plane. The man wanted some uppers.
Goose's wife, a lot of people don't remember that she was even in the movie. Do we remember who Goose's wife was? Carol?
Who's the actress? Wait, was it, damn it.
You know this one.
Was it Meg Ryan?
It was Meg Ryan.
All right.
A then unknown Meg Ryan, that is Goose's wife, Carol. She greets her husband with, hey, Goose, you big stud. Another one of the most iconic lines.
Yeah.
You can be my wingman anytime. Iceman makes this remark to Maverick near the end of the film when the rivals make a truce of sorts, except Maverick remarks that Iceman can be his wingman instead. And the final quote that's the most famous of the top 10 from Top Gun. This could be complicated. You know, on the first one, I crashed and burned. This line at the end of the movie is a nod to what Maverick told Charlie when the two started dating. After the two broke up, Charlie eventually comes back to see him, and the two rekindle their relationship.
Yeah.
Any one of those quotes can cost you $5.
$5. You can't quote that.
Yeah, we also were talking just about the fact that, and you were right, as far as enlistment in the U.S. Navy, and as far as trying to be a pilot is concerned.
500% uptick.
Now, we all have some type of profession or something we're involved in, whether that's either something that's iconic from being a TV show or maybe something that was a movie that kind of inspired you. I think there were a few in our profession. WKRP in Cincinnati was one of those shows. Funny as hell, whether it was about a radio station or not.
I don't know that made anyone want to get into radio.
It made me want to get into radio.
Really? I mean,
hell yeah.
Seemed like a lot of drugs.
Venus Flytrap.
And Johnny Fever.
Johnny Fever.
They obviously smoked a lot of dope. I like that about them, but nothing about radio itself seemed positive.
I have worked for some mom and pops that were not close to that, but weren't too far off.
Sure, sure.
So where you're in a small little room, you've got a big blonde receptionist with boobs that are hanging out every day when you walk in. She's got on like some flowered dress and bad heels. This is Hagerstown, Maryland. You know, you walk
in. She didn't have a choice.
Her name was Jenny. You know what I mean? Jenny, hi, good morning, man. Good morning, Jenny. How are you? And you could hear like talking down the hallway like for like two blocks away.
Right. Yeah, and then we had like a newsman. And we had this news guy that was just, he was this old, just iconic, stoic guy that had been in the radio station for 40 years. And he would come in, he would read his news. And as soon as he was done reading his news, he would have coffee, he would have a donut, and he'd walk the hell out the door. He didn't talk to anybody. He was just this old. And when you try to throw it to him and say like, all right, Dave, how's the weather going to be today? He'd be like, the forecast is coming up, but first the news. Like, he wouldn't tell you anything. Like, you know what I mean? You couldn't even banter with the guy. He was just a straight-ahead news guy, quirky as hell, would tell you the lamest one-line dad jokes in the hallway ever.
I worked with one, quote-unquote, iconic news radio guy. Same general situation. Dude was 400 years old by the time I met him. He'd been on the radio in Baltimore for God knows how many years, right? But everyone knew who the guy was. And I am fresh in the radio. I'm working this overnight shift, all right? So midnight to 6 a.m., he rolls in about 5 a.m. because he's going to start giving his news updates before the morning show. No problem. So they're explaining to me, this guy comes in, and here he is, all iconic, being who I'm. And he's nice enough, but he's in a separate studio than me. But like you're saying, Miles, you kind of have to throw it to him. So I fire up his mic, and here's whatever the hell his name was. So I'm like, all right, and it comes back to me. We go into the song. I'm like, hey, man, you know, I don't know what it is, but like, you're really, really, really difficult to hear. Now, keep in mind, I'm fresh at the radio. He's the iconic newsman, so obviously this is something on your end. And I'm sweating, man. You know, I'm checking all the stuff. I throw it to him again for the second of three news pitches he does before the morning show. Once again, we go back. And I'm just like, man, I don't understand what's going on. And I'm looking through the window in the studio. I see him speaking into the microphone. And I have this thing potted all the way up. The volume is turned up for whatever reason. It's just not going out. Well, now the hotline's ringing because my boss, Mr. Bill Pasha, now he's mad at me because I'm running the board. And he's like, hey, man, you know, this is a professional broadcast. It sounds like crap. What the hell's the problem every time you go to this guy? I'm like, dude, I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out. So I throw the news to this guy for a third time. And a third time. And you can't hear him. And I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And I realize as he's finishing his news, he put his, you know, like the big foam thing he put on the microphone. He put it on the back of the microphone.
Oh, no.
So the part that actually...
Oh, no.
Right. He's talking into the back. That would be like holding your phone upside down and talking into it. But never being aware that your phone's upside down and not understanding why no one can hear you.
Yeah,
and I'm like,
yeah.
This is the iconic news radio guy.
Mm-hmm.
This is the guy that knows the ropes. And he doesn't know which end of a microphone to talk into. I don't understand how he still has
all these personalities. So like, I worked with a guy called the Round Mouth of Sound, just like the typical, just like, hi, how you doing? Also do weddings and all kinds of bar mitzvahs. And by the way, Happy New Year to all the Jewish fans out there. He's that guy, you know, on the air every day, just like, you know, puking it up. He'd tell you the time three different ways. Like, no matter what, he'd be like, it's 2:36. That's 24 till 3.
Like 36
minutes after 2 o'clock. How you doing? I'm the Round Mouth of Sound.
At 14:36 for our military front of all time.
So today we're going to talk a little bit about money and what's a good story of yours that involves money. It always doesn't have to be a good story about money. Obviously, some of these stories are going to bring you today. Losing $5 isn't the worst deal in the world.
No.
I'll tell you one of the ones that it still burns me. And you know me, man. I haven't played them in a while. But I'm a scratch-off fan.
Mm-hmm.
I pick up some Washington Lottery scratch-offs every once in a while.
I don't know why.
There was a point in time, actually, many years ago, where I was one of the sponsors here on the radio station on KSW for the Washington State Lottery.
Yes.
Now, one thing I knew for a fact was, and I'm pretty sure it's on the back of the ticket, was that any employee or
if you have anything to do with the lottery,
yeah.
You can't win.
Right, and I was convinced, you know, like I stopped playing Powerball. I stopped playing all this stuff. I still bought my scratch-offs.
Sure.
Because you don't really need an ID for that. I'm not going to win that big. You know what I mean? But I was just like, I'm going to hit the lottery right in the middle of this, and it's going to be illegal as hell. Piss me off. But as far as an opportunity, and I never really won a lot. I think I won $120 on my birthday, which was just mind-blowing. You know what I mean? I was just like, this is my day.
I've never seen anyone lose at scratch-offs as much as you.
But and I think I've told you this story before. But my Uncle Bill used to live in Richmond, Virginia. Richmond, Virginia is a huge racing town. Obviously, it leans more to NASCAR. Either way, it's a racing town. So there's one day where we're going to just go. It's like a Saturday or Sunday, I guess. Whatever day they run the Indy 500. I believe that's a Saturday. We're going to go to his local pub. We're going to get some lunch. We're going to hang out, blah, blah, blah. So we go to the bar, and my uncle knows a couple of the guys in there, the neighbors, and we start drinking. And the Indy 500 is about ready to come on. Now, the way that they did the Indy 500 was you basically just reached your hand into a hat.
You pulled out a number. That's your car.
Okay.
So there's no strategy involved. It is random luck. It is what it is. The number of cars that they had, there were only two tickets available. Now, those tickets cost $100 each. And because I was down there with my uncle, I'm like, you know what? Let's just do this. Let's just do $100 and see what happens. Okay, so we're just starting to order appetizers. We're drinking. This is 500 laps. This is not a quick race.
Right.
This race lasts for a very long time. But now we've got 100 in. So we are kind of getting a little bit excited about this thing.
Of
because
course.
Our cars are doing really, really well. Both of our cars are just absolutely kicking ass. Now, like it was Ted, we're having an interest in Formula One racing.
Oh, yes,
this is exciting. This is great.
Want to get money involved.
Now we're getting hammered. Like, at this point, his wife is coming to pick us up from the bar because we've been there for 3 or 4 hours. So, lo and behold, we get down to the final lap of the Indianapolis 500. I don't know how this happened. My uncle's car and my car are neck and neck. We are the only cars by lengths ahead on the track. I mean, this is a no-brainer.
Right.
We, one of us, is going to win. I can't remember what the pot was. It was a few, it was over $1,000.
It had to be, right?
Because we all put 100 in.
Yeah.
So, I mean, it was a large-ass pot. And it wasn't first, second, or third tiered off like that. Winner take all. The last turn, my uncle's tire gets caught up in my car's tire.
No.
Both cars. Both cars. Spin. Keep in mind, I'm young, and I'm like, $100 is a lot for me to bet.
Yeah.
Both cars spin out. The third car, it takes it about 10 seconds
to catch up to
work. Blow through the wreckage, goes on to win the Indy 500.
Are you kidding me?
No. And I mean, we were just so pissed. It was so heartbreaking. I mean, we would have, I mean, like, this is cash.
Yeah.
This is cash money. I'm like 22 years old, 23 years old. I think my uncle even put in 50 for me.
Just to
be able to do it, you know what I mean? And I mean, it was so freaking heartbreaking, you know what I mean? That we could have had thousands and thousands of dollars. I'm pretty sure we had made the deal somewhere along the line, like, look, man, I win, you win, we split it.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So either way, we're cashing in on this bad boy, man. It was just, it was sickening. It was sickening to the stomach. We just proceeded to get completely hammered.
Oh, absolutely.
It was just like, oh my God. And the guy that won, he's like, I'll buy you guys some drinks.
Well, you bet your ass you will.
Like,
we're going to mug you.
Well, let's all do a shot.
Thanks.
Right. What is a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The men's room is in progress. 99.9 KISW and KISW HD1 Seattle.
My question, what is a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, TJ. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bichola.
Hola.
Okay, so I have one about losing money. It's not me, luckily. My cousin a while back ago was on his way to the bank and was in Bonnie Lake, and he was stopped by a stranger who offered him $100 to go and cash a check for him, Well, my cousin, being the overly nice guy he is, asked no questions whatsoever, thought I could take the $100. And after he took the check, the guy, you know, asked for his phone number and said to meet me here, you know, tomorrow, and I'll have the money for you after the check clears. Well, the next day he had police knocking on his door. Turns out the guy he was helping was scamming this little old lady out of checks on a frequent basis. So the cops were already on the lookout for this guy. And when the bank got the check, they immediately called the cops and they thought it was my cousin who was doing the fraud. Luckily, the cameras and stuff cleared everything up. But the cops asked him if he would go and do a sting operation for them. And they still fined him money. He still got a big fine for it.
Who, your cousin did?
Yeah, my cousin got fined for it.
You think if you would help out that they would kind of give him a break?
So, I mean, is this something where you could get fined just for cashing someone else's check, even if it's on the level? Or did they fine him because it was not on the level?
They fined him because it was not on the level. And the interesting thing about the whole thing is, yeah, he actually helped them. He called the guy and said, okay, well, the money's in my account. Can I meet up and, you know, give you your money and you give me my portion of it? Well, when the guy arrived, they seen my cousin, didn't notice the cops, and the cops came out of nowhere and arrested the guy. And my cousin's fine was reduced, but he was also banned from that bank permanently.
Damn, man. Like, hey, fellas, I'm stupid. I didn't know. Obviously, your cousin's a bit of a moron. But beyond that, like, look, I'm going to help you with the sting. Can we knock the price? Like, to me, that would
know,
be fair.
I don't know how your guys' bank operates, but I'm only allowed to walk in my bank once a month. If I walk into my bank more than that, they pay me for every transaction inside the bank. They charge me. So it's already.
Do they charge more inside the bank, or do they hit you for more at the machine?
You know what? I don't know because I never go over. I mean, rarely am I in there more than that because I already know I really can't go in there. And the only reason I would go in there is if I had a check, if someone wrote me a check. I can't tell you the last time someone said, here, Miles, have some money.
A check, right. That never happens.
No.
I actually, this morning, you know, it's our payday. I'm going to go to the ATM. No big deal, man. Make withdrawals of cash. That's what I like to do. And the ATM says it gave me the money, but it did not give me the money, right? Which now means my bank thinks that it has given me the money, but there's no money in my hand. Well, my bank is headquartered on the East Coast. I've just had the same bank account for, 16, 17 years. As long as we've been here, no need to switch it because you can do everything online. So I'm at a Chase Bank. So I go into Chase Bank to explain, hey, this thing's saying it gave me the dough, but it didn't. But because I don't belong to Chase Bank, basically they're like, we can't do anything.
You're SOL on that.
I'm like, it's your effing machine and you can see it. But either way, it ended up getting corrected in the end. But that's a bit of a nightmare. It's like, man, I just want my cash. And if I can't have my cash, I don't want the bank to think that it has given me the cash. Because it hasn't. But Chase was just like, we can't help you.
What's better than waking up in the morning and checking your bank account to realize that someone went bowling and spent $150 on a Friday night, and you're the one who paid for it?
Was that today?
No, that was a couple months ago, man. It's, I said, like, I got a fraud notice. I look in there, I'm like, oh, they had a great time. They went to the bowling alley and spent $150. Now, I don't know if you know anything about Texas. This must be the most expensive thing in all of Texas, because you can buy a home with 80 acres for $150.
Right.
I don't know what the hell they did, but they had a good time. What is a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Guess who it is, Ted? Oh, that's right. Ted's not here. Hello, James. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola.
Hola.
How's it going, guys?
Doing great, man. Positive Friday, James.
Positive Friday.
Come on.
My story's about winning money.
What is it about again?
Sorry, let me hop back in my car. I was about to grab my kids. But it's about getting money.
Okay, well, that's a positive.
So about 8 or 9 years back, I'm hanging out at a bar in Kent. I got hammered for my birthday. And my buddy and I are walking out. As we're getting out, creepy old guy in a lifted truck tells me he'd give me $70 for my socks.
For your socks?
My socks.
The socks that you are currently wearing.
Yes. Like the ones I worked in all day, 12 hours. They've been marinating in sweat. They smell god-awful.
Why do you think he wanted to give you $70 for your socks?
I can guess why.
Smell it.
I found out later on that apparently this guy went to several bars in the area, and he would buy dudes' underwear and their socks and cuddle with them on a pillow. I don't know. It's weird. It's gross, but
for $70,
I was drunk.
So what? Yeah. I'll give up my socks and underwear right now to anybody for $70.
Yeah, I would say I would do it right now, even if you said I'm going to cuddle with
them. I don't care
them.
What you do with it.
Whatever,
give me
bro.
$70, man. You can fly them up a flagpole. Well, I don't care.
It gets better though. He offers me to double it if I jump in the cab and take them off and give them to him. And again, I'm hammering. Like hell yeah, let's do this. I give him the socks and he gave me $140 for them.
Damn. That must be nice to be able to just drop that kind of cash on your
Why can't
on your fetish.
I meet someone that creepy?
Right, exactly.
I would be so happy if some creepy dude's like, I gave you $140 if you pull off your socks in my car. Like, done and done, friend.
Hell yeah. Just take the keys out of the ignition. You're not kidnapping my ass.
Do you ever, see that guy again?
No, I did not. And the only reason I know that this happened is my buddy Nick was present, and he told me in the morning. So I woke up with $140 in my wallet. When I was broke, so
did you have to ask him, or what, did he inform you first?
He informed me through fits of laughter and asking me what the F was wrong with me.
Well, you said you're going to pick up your kids right now. Do you think you'll ever tell them this story?
I got my oldest in the car, so she just heard it, and she's waiting to turn the radio up after we get off so she can hear it again.
Okay. And if you can't do that, just download the radio.com app, and you can listen to the podcast.
And, of course, remind her, so don't ever do that.
And your dad said he's taking you to McDonald's.
$140. Yeah, man, I'm down.
He's got money now.
Like, I know it's creepy. I know it's weird. I know that this is probably not someone you want to associate with, but straight up, like, hey, man. For your underwear and your socks, $140. Like, done.
Mm-hmm.
Not a problem.
Yeah.
You creepy son of a bitch. Give
Doesn't
me your
matter.
Creepy money.
Nobody wants to have anything to do with me. If they want to pay me $140 for anything, I'll be down with it. Could I pop that zit on your back, man? I'll give you $150. Go for it, brother.
You know what? You're right. I'm trying to think. Like,
I don't care. Yeah.
Here's
whatever,
my shirt, socks.
Whatever gets you off. What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Stefan. Welcome to the men's room.
Liquor and whores. All right, so I'll try and make this story as quick as I can because it's kind of a long, obnoxious story. When I was 24, I was working in Pioneer Square, and I met this Northern Irish nationalist, and that northern bit is kind of important. And he said he was down a guy on a crew in Alaska that he was working to go pan for gold, and he wanted to know if I wanted to come along and like go make an incredible amount of money in gold.
Did you tell him no? But I'll sell you my socks and my underwear for $140.
No, it is not. I was 24 at the time. I wasn't doing a whole ton. I didn't have a ton of obligations. This is the day after. So we had first met like the day before, and then we got drunk that night. He bought all the drinks, which was kind of cool. He was a flush with cash. So I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, I'll go drinking with this Irish guy. And the next day he's like, hey man, you got really drunk and we're complaining about money problems. What if I told you I had a solution to that? I'm like, all right, I'm listening. So jump forward about a week. We're on the Alaska Marine Highway. We're on our way up to Alaska and I'm going to go look for this extravagant amount of gold that I've been told is up there. And he was explaining me all the details. Here's where it is. Here's what we're doing. We had many, many, like, no BS, come to Jesus. This is going to be the toughest thing you're ever going to do. If I think you can't handle it, I'm going to pack your crap up and I'm going to send you back to Juneau. Like, this was, he was being, like, I saw it on the level on everything. We were stuck in Juneau for a couple of days due to some freezing fog, and so we couldn't actually get out to where we needed to be because we either had to take a boat or like a plane or whatever, and it's just getting running out of money now. I'm running out of money that I'm investing in this. And then, like, the day before we're supposed to leave, he busts his toe. He's walking around our little Airbnb barefoot, and he gets a splinter about the size of your thumbnail in his big right toe. And now all of a sudden he can barely walk, let alone hike 10 or 15 miles to where we have to be. And being broke, we're out of money. We decide, all right, I'll go back to Seattle, hang out for a couple of weeks. His dad and uncle were going to come out and oversee things a couple weeks later. I would fly back to both with them. And I never heard from his ass again.
Damn.
So how much money did you lose in this little adventure?
All in all, probably about $1,200.
Okay. Jeez, man.
Juneau doesn't have a lot.
I would make back that summer. I was working a job that ended up being quite lucrative, but still, like, I was supposed to make infinitely more, like, on the short end, $150,000 without breaking a sweat.
I did hear, though, I got a buddy from Juneau, and he says the one thing they have downtown, is a lot of bars based on the population.
Don't say.
So he says if you're going to get stuck someplace, it's not a bad place. There's about five or six bars.
We had like four different bars. And we were hanging out because we had nothing else to do because of the weather. We couldn't get out to where we needed to go. So we're like, well, screw it. Let's go drinking. Found the one Costco in Juneau, too. That was cool. We ate there a lot.
It almost sounds like the back of Rolling Stone magazine. They always had these ads when you were kids. Right. Like, you could be a fisherman in Alaska and make $20 an hour. And you read that and think, $20 an hour?
To fish? But you're imagining that you have a fishing pole.
Or you're in a cannery or whatever the deal was. It didn't really matter. You're still like $20 an hour, man. That's insane money. I've never even heard of that much money.
I think deadliest
catch. I was only making $11 at the time, so yeah, I'd have jumped on that.
Hell yeah.
Yeah, at that time, man. And I think deadliest catch was probably the first time I realized, like, oh, that kind of fish.
You would have to think, though, that inspires a lot of people to want to do that.
But deadliest catch?
Yeah. I mean, more so than anything else. I mean, doesn't that glamorize? I mean, obviously, it's full of tragedy as well.
It's
always good. But as far as the notoriety, the fame involved in it, you know, the fact that you're on television.
Can be, but I mean, it.
And then the money.
You're probably right. Right. And the money potentially can be good. But I don't know. Maybe I'm just older. But when I see what they deal with to get that money, I'm like, dude, that's just.
It is hard. But no one goes, I really want to be an ice road trucker. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't have the same glamour to it that like the deadliest catch does.
Yeah, but it's called deadliest catch.
Yeah.
That makes it sound cool. And then you watch the show and you're like, this looks harrowing and awful, and I'm in the Bering frickin' Sea during the worst weather.
Right.
No.
And you're right. The name means a lot.
They
got another one.
Like, if you called it crab fisherman,
it's right.
Everyone be like,
they got another one called like tuna people or something. And about a Maine,
like
a crab.
Tuna hunter.
That's a band.
I'm like, man, I won't even watch this stupid show.
Yeah, Tuna Tom.
But it is amazing what TV shows would do, because there was a period there where MTV. Remember, they started 16 and pregnant.
And every 16-year-old wanted to get pregnant, be on the show.
But it was great because the idea behind it was to show you, hey, at this age, how tough it can be to have a kid. And, like, none of these stories were positive, man.
And none of them cut through to the kids. They're just like, let's get pregnant.
I'm getting pregnant, going to be on TV. I'm like, oh, my God, you completely missed the point. By the way, we had the guy that called about he got drunk on his birthday. Dude offered him $140 for his socks if he would take off his socks in the cab of the guy's truck. Someone says, my buddy sold his stinky socks to someone online, and the guy wanted them as dirty as possible. And someone else points out, fellas, it's $30 for a pack of underwear these days. You're only getting three or four pair and $40.
Yeah. Well, see, the problem is this guy wants them used.
He wants them used. He wants them body temperature.
Yeah, I mean, if he wanted new socks, he'd go get new socks.
You think Hoarders has inspired anyone?
I sure as hell hope.
Betty,
I think that's a psychological thing.
Even
if they did not have the show, no one watches that and goes, you know what, I need to be a hoarder.
But they do it with 16 and pregnant.
Yeah,
so to me,
but you're not glamorizing this. This is like an intervention.
They weren't glamorizing the 16-year-olds. Like, your life's falling apart.
You got to go in there and make somebody cry because you threw away a stack of old newspapers from 10 years ago.
Yeah, okay. I guess intervention did not inspire me to get drunk.
Yeah, no kidding. What's a good story of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
Hello, Christine. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, bitch.
Hola.
I'm telling you, these stories, I wonder how the guy in Alaska came back with his liver. So I was expecting he was going to, you know, be like, you know, organ harvesting or something. But
my
story about money. Jesus. In the 90s, early to mid-90s, I lived in South Lake Tahoe. I was doing, you know, mostly playing blackjack, winning a pretty good amount of money, and staying with a girlfriend that owned an entertainment service.
Uh-huh. I see.
How many one-eyed men have you slept with? Knowing that Reno is in close proximity.
Mm-hmm. No. Nothing along those lines. My bestie that I rented a room from owned a strip cheese service, and she managed all the dancers because South Lake Tahoe is kind of the mecca for bachelor parties in California.
Okay.
So everybody, way back in the day before, you know, this crazy pandemic. So I went to sleep. It was the night before the Kentucky Derby of that year, and I had this dream that I was on a stationary bicycle with a stone that was rolling, you know, as I was pedaling, and I kept falling forward and hitting my face, and I'm thinking, nose to the grindstone. And when I checked the lineup for the Derby, there was a horse called Grindstone. I'm like, oh my God, I need to, you know, he was like the long shot, like 200 to 1 or 250 to 1, some crazy, crazy odds. And I said, you know, I'm just going to go all in. I had a great feeling about this. I put $100 down on this horse to win, and like $112 or something like that. I had $100 and some change, and he was, the letter D was attached to this horse's name, and he was paired with another horse called Editor's Choice. Now, if you are familiar with horse racing, whenever they pair a horse, if the horse's pair comes in places and your horse doesn't, you win half the odds.
Huh, okay.
On that
so
race.
Is that win, place, or show? So 1, 2, or 3 if that horse does
it? Yeah, 1, 2, or 3. Okay. Doesn't matter if your horse comes in, whatever he finishes at, you get half of the winnings. And my horse didn't place at all, but Editor's Choice, who was also the D horse, took first. And I won like $5,800. And I've never,
damn,
ever bet on a horse race.
And you never had to go and do a striptease to get that money?
Oh, goodness. No. I was a driver. I drove those girls around and made more money than they did because I always took a percentage of their tips. That was the way things go. But I'm, this was early 90s, 91, 92, something like that.
How much cocaine do you think you've seen in your life? I mean, come on, man.
Probably suitcases full. I went with one of the dancers to a hotel up in North Lake Tahoe. And when we walked in, there was a pile of cocaine on a round table. Like, we're talking like it had to have been at least a foot high.
You're saying strippers, Tahoe. Strippers. I'm like, all I pictured, like, cocaine.
Well, North Tahoe, that's where the money is, right?
No. South Lake Tahoe is where,
okay,
all the money is.
I've only been in North Lake Tahoe. It just seemed like all these rich people with million-dollar homes.
You're
there.
Just that broke. That's all. Yeah.
It's insane. Well, the cool thing about Tahoe is they have a building covenant where only you have to buy a lotto ticket to get a building permit. It's $15,000, or at least it was, and they build one house a year, and it's to prevent like urban sprawl.
Sure.
So they, yeah. I love Tahoe. I skied 160 days a season. I lived there for 3 or 4 years before I moved to Washington State. So
I had a good time down there. I went to some hippie bar, man. Saw a couple bands. People are just like stinking it up. You know, it's good times. Just hot hippie chicks running around, all flowery in California. You know what I mean?
How close to Reno is it? Isn't it like
I don't remember. This club was like halfway between Reno and Tahoe.
I just feel like Reno is like someone with body odor, but you have to share the elevator with them.
Oh yeah.
You know, it's not necessarily someone you know or anyone you hang out with, but just proximity just makes things.
It was
better.
A hippie freak show, man. I went and saw The Devil Makes Three with Hair Club, and then we went to see Glen Campbell. It was just, I mean,
the Glen Campbell.
It was exactly what you think it was. What's a good story of yours that involves money? That's when we went to the sushi club. There was also a strip bar. 206-421-ROCK. The best place to get sushi in town.
Did you get sushi?
Hell no.
Okay. Hello, Justin. Welcome to the men's room.
Hola, gentlemen.
Hola.
So, it was apparently at night. I decided to go get some dicks on Queen Anne, the indoor one. And I was going to get my standard order of two burgers, two fries, and a shake. But when I got in there, I found $50 on the floor, and I was like, hell, I'm going to eat like a king tonight. So I doubled that order. Had quite a good time. And then went down to the 5 point.
Uh-huh.
Oh, nice. Okay.
I think your money would be better spent at the 5 point, mm-hmm, but that's just me because I'm a drunk.
What the hell is that building? Is that like an old Burger King or something?
What?
The Dicks and Queen Anne. I mean, it's like one of those buildings that's got like an iconic building to it. You could tell it was something else that you know damn well because it looks nothing like any other Dick's.
Right.
Because you can't go into a Dick's and sit down and eat anywhere except for Queen Anne.
I need to see this one. You think it's an old McDonald's,
it looks
pizza?
Like,
I like buildings
I
that take
like,
over.
I think it's a Burger King. It could be a Pizza Hut. I don't think it is.
No, you know the pizza.
But this is like a Shoney's, or it's like some kind of like when you see the building, you go, what in the hell was this place? Because it wasn't Dick's forever. You know
right.
What I mean? Yeah. What is a good stories of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK. You got a picture up there, Mike?
Oh, yeah. Hang on.
See? What is that? That was not a Dick's.
It was not a Dick's. That was not a Pizza Hut. Maybe.
Burger Chef?
Maybe. Yeah.
I don't have any idea.
By the way, if you move your business into an old Pizza Hut, you're not fooling anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's actually a Twitter site called, it used to be a Pizza Hut.
Oh, yeah. You should check it
out.
It's
like strip clubs, dentist office, all that stuff. What is a good stories of yours that involves money? 206-421-ROCK.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.